But we're going to be looking at Acts 3 this morning, so you're welcome to turn there if you'd like, Acts chapter 3. And as I said, it is New Year's, or it was New Year's Day yesterday, and Maria, my daughter, all my kids did, but Maria, my daughter, received an Amazon gift card from my father-in-law for Christmas. So she used that card to purchase something earlier this week and was wanting to check the notifications on a daily, well, actually on an hourly basis, on when this package was going to arrive. And it was supposed to come earlier in the week, I think, and then she'd check Amazon. It kept getting moved the day forward and day forward. Then the next time it was December 31st, it was going to come, which was Friday. And I told her that, well, we better hope it comes today, because if it doesn't come today, it's not going to come till next year. To which she started to panic and get a little distressed about the idea of that. And she said, no, it says it's going to come tomorrow. And I said, it is going to come tomorrow, but it's going to come next year. And she kept panicking and freaking out. And my child that loves stimulation, I am thinking that it's possible that at some point in that she did figure out what was happening, but decided she liked the game too much to stop. Heather saw a meme the other day about two, I think, older ladies sitting down discussing New Year's and the New Year's resolutions that they were planning for the year. And the one lady says to the other, my New Year's resolution this year is to stop putting my foot in my mouth so often. Then she turns to the other lady and says, I imagine yours is to lose weight. She didn't last very long with that New Year's resolution, did she? So, as I had said, this is a season in which we examine ourselves. And though we know that when it hits midnight on New Year's Day, really not much of anything has actually changed. You know, it's just a minute has gone by, and you're not going to have a better life just because of it. You're not going to have a worse life just because of it. And yet there's still something good about examining our lives and asking ourselves, where are we? How am I? What's planned for the future? How am I preparing for those things? And you've probably done a number of those things. And you've made possibly some commitments of, I'm going to change this thing, or I'm going to change that thing. The challenge, though, depending on your type of commitments, is if you've made a commitment to have to be a better parent, sometimes that's a little bit dependent upon the child. You know, I'm the best parent in the world until my child wakes up. Maybe you made a commitment to have a better marriage. Well, you can do everything you can to have a better marriage, but still dependent upon the other person in the marriage. Maybe you've made a commitment to get another job, better job. And you might do different things, and there are certain things within your power, but there are also plenty of things that are dependent upon other people to make that happen. Maybe you want to make your finances different this year. Again, it's depending on, don't you love inflation? Don't you love when prices go higher and higher? And don't you hate when they go higher and your income doesn't go any higher? Because we can make all the commitments in the world, but we live within a society, if you didn't know that. And we are dependent upon one another, and how much I can progress and move forward is heavily dependent upon other people. We're linked to one another, for better or for worse. Like it or not, we are tied to each other. And our welfare is linked to their welfare, and their welfare is linked to mine. And though there's some ebbs and flows to that, we are completely dependent upon, if we're going to proceed and get to certain places, we need other people in our lives. We need other people to do certain things, to be a certain way if we're going to get there. And some of the New Year's resolutions that you've made and some of the commitments you've made and the goals that you've set for yourself aren't going to happen unless this group thrives, unless this group flourishes. And there is a link that ties us together, you and I, that we are a part of a body of Christ. And the health of that body, as Paul describes, depends upon the health of each individual. And the health of each individual depends upon the health of that body. So how healthy are you this morning? How good are you with Jesus Christ? Where's your mind at? What are you focused on this year? When you made those New Year's resolutions, not that it's wrong to make a New Year's resolution to be healthier and eat healthier or to change some financial things or some relationship or focus or character things. But if you didn't decide that at some point in there, one of your focuses is to grow closer to Jesus, then I wonder where our attention is. And I get it. There is so much to grab at our attention, isn't there? There's things to be stressed about, scared of, worried about. There's things to fix and problems to solve. And I understand that there's money to be made. There's things in our house to fix. But the whole reason we're living is because of Jesus. In fact, there was an incident that we're going to see in Acts 3 in which Peter and John encounter someone and something began to happen, and there's something that we begin to realize as we watch what happens with these three individuals and more. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. So here you have a guy who had a need. And in his need, he looked for a solution to his need. And where did he look? At the people. He looked around for the people who had the money and the resources to help him out. And he looked to people to satisfy his dilemma. And then verse 3, seeing Peter and John, again, his attention was on the people about to go into the temple. He asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Again, his attention wasn't to receive from Jesus. His attention was to receive something from a person. And understand that you and I live this way often. We need attention. We need company. We need affection. We need encouragement. We need healing. And where do we often look to? A person to satisfy those things. We look to a doctor. We look to a spouse. We look to children. We look to people in our lives. We look to a pastor or a leader or a politician to meet various needs. And here is this man doing the same. He's looking to a person. And then verse 6, but Peter said to him, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and leaping up he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. His attention now is beginning to go to God, yet only partially. As verse 9, it says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who had sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. While he clung to Peter and John, again, he's still holding on to the people. All the people, utterly astonished, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" Peter now verbalizes the idea, you are looking at people. And I want you to know something, people are going to always let you down. I am going to always let you down. Because you and I are riddled with flaws and a sinful nature and certain things that we're just not capable of. And though we might try hard and we might do good things and we might fulfill you and serve you in good ways and different ways, but at the end of the day, at some point, we're going to fail you because we are flawed and weak and we cannot meet all your needs. And some of us have grown frustrated at life because people weren't there for us. We've grown sad and discouraged, and we've given up on different things because a person failed us. Someone broke trust with us. And I want you to know that if you are living your life having hope for your life based on a person or based on people, you are going to always be disappointed at some point, because that's not where the attention needs to be with people. If you're relying on a pastor to do something great or on the worship team to do something great to connect you to Jesus, you're going to always find disappointment at some point, because people cannot be your satisfaction in life. Why are you looking at us? Why are you looking at the people? Peter says. Then what am I supposed to look at? Well, in verse 13 he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. When they had Jesus in their midst, they wanted people still. Give us Barabbas. And though we want Jesus in our lives, we still, why we lose people to solve our problems. And there's a reason why we lose hope. There's a reason why we give up. There's a reason why we get bitter and irritated and frustrated with other people, because we placed expectations on them that they can't meet. That person isn't Jesus. Your wife isn't Jesus. She might be close, but your wife isn't Jesus. Your husband isn't Jesus. Your dad or your mom isn't Jesus. And you're going to find yourself miserable and depressed and discouraged and giving up on life if you keep focusing on Jesus. And we say we want Jesus. We sing the songs. We go to church. We do the different things. But do you really want Jesus enough that you are clinging to him for the sustenance and the source of your life? When do you pray? When do you seek him? How often do you pray? How passionately are you seeking the face of Jesus? Is it only when you're struggling? Is it only when you're needy? How much do you want Jesus? Or are you spending your time on people? Now, I'm not meaning to contradict myself, because as I've said over the past weeks, we do need each other, right? Man is not meant to live alone. We do need to serve each other and attempt to be there for one another, and we can do good as we're called to do good in this world. But at the end of the day, if you just bring people to you, if you just have them put all their expectations on you, nothing's going to happen. At some point, they will be lacking because you lack, because you don't have all the resources. You can't solve others all their problems, but Jesus can. In fact, that's why he continues and says, verse 15, and you killed the author of life, who God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. When this man met Jesus, perfect health. When this man connected with Jesus Christ, made whole again when he met Jesus. But there's something puzzling that did happen, though. Did you notice that when Peter and John began to comment to that man, they didn't initially say, look to Jesus. Did you notice that? They said, look at us. Now, why? Why would Peter draw attention to himself when in a moment he's going to say, why are you looking at me? Because as much as we need Jesus, for some reason, people can't see Jesus until they see Jesus in you. And so we can't just say, well, you know, I messed up, but that's okay because you got Jesus. Well, I'm failing you. I'm not being as faithful as I should. I'm not being there for you. I'm not being the kind of person I should for you. I'm not meeting certain needs in your life, but that's okay. You got Jesus. That's not good enough, because some people can't see Jesus until they see Jesus in you. And so Peter and John, they understood that. And they said, look at us. And when they had his attention, they didn't just give him nothing. They gave him more than what he was asking for, didn't they? He was just looking for some money, you know, a few bucks to help him along the way. But they made him whole through Jesus. And then they drew the attention to Jesus. Are you seeking Jesus in your life today, this year? I'm wondering, because I began a journey a few weeks ago, and that's why I invited you on it, and I don't want to imply that I wasn't praying before, but have you ever had moments in your life where you were praying, and it was prayer, but then you had times where you were praying, and you were praying? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where there was something there, it was necessary, but it wasn't like this is. And I began to decide, I need to pray more often. And it's not that you pray more often and you fix all your problems, but I began to realize that there's a reason why I'm wrestling with and struggling with and not being whatever it is that I need to be, because I can't do it unless I'm in the presence of Jesus in a constant basis. So each week I began to increase more often and more often, or longer, how long I was praying. And as I was doing that, you know what I began to notice? There's other things I need to get done. Do you ever do that at times? Praying and seeking the Lord, or thinking about praying, and you think, but there are things that need to get done. How's it going to get done if I'm praying so often? It does get done. You're right, Helen Jane. And you know what I noticed? I decided that yesterday, I decided that I was praying a certain amount, and I thought, okay, this is good. This is bringing some change in my life. And guess what? There was still weakness. There were still flaws. And you know what I decided? I need to press in more then. And I need to, what would happen if in 2022 you decided that every time you saw a flaw, that meant increase this more? I need to seek him more. I need to seek Jesus more, be in his presence more, be in pursuit of Jesus. What would happen in your life if that happened? But you might start to say, well, but I only pray so much. And you know, again, I got other things to do. And I don't know if I'm going to see anything happen out of that. How do you know doing it, are they? Are the people in your life doing it for you? They might be doing something for you, but are the people in your life bringing revival in your heart and in your life? Are the people in your life bringing revival to our society? Are the people in your life getting rid of all your health problems? Are the people in your life changing your character? Or they might be doing it some, but are you there? Are you where you need to be in Jesus this morning? Or do you even care how far short we are of him? Do you even care how far short we are? I need Jesus. And I'm not saying that because I need his salvation. I'm not saying that because I need the grace that's offered to me. I'm not saying it because of those things. I'm saying because I need to seek him more. I need to be in his presence more. I need to show with my actions and with my passion and with my heart that I want Jesus, because nothing else is going to satisfy. Well, but why don't we do this? Why don't we passionately pursue Jesus above all other things? Because I'm telling you, your relationships are going to be different if you stop putting those expectations on them. I'm telling you, you're going to treat people differently if you stop holding them up to being Jesus. It's going to be different. But why aren't we there? Well, verse 17, he says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. You acted in ignorance." See, sometimes the reason why we don't do is because we don't get it. We don't get prayer. We don't understand it. We don't get serving him. We don't get the Bible. We don't get it. We don't get righteousness. We don't get different things. We don't get Jesus. We don't understand them, and that's why we don't do different things. And so I've decided, I've been doing this for the past several months, is if you are ignorant, how can you resolve that? Well, what is the light that Jesus gave us to shine upon our feet, the light upon our path? The Word of God. And so I've decided I need to consume the Bible even more so, and even more so, and even more so. And not only the Bible, but what does Proverbs say? Seek wisdom and knowledge and understanding and insight wherever you can get it. Strive to understand, to know, because if we strive to be in that light, then we will get it. We will understand. We won't be ignorant, and we will pursue. We will be on the right path if we are eliminating the ignorance in our lives. But are you doing that? Well, but I used to be in Bible quiz, so I know all those things. I used to teach Sunday school, so I know all the stories. I used to preach sermons on Christmas Eve because I know that the wise men went to the manger. If you didn't catch that joke last week, I misspoke. You think you know, you don't yet know enough. And what are you losing? What power is absent from your life because you don't know the truths that God wants to reveal in your life that you don't understand and you're not seeking and you're not pursuing because of Jesus? We bring people to Bethel. Bring value, bring people. We bring people to Bethel, perhaps hoping that there's going to be a great message on that day, a great sermon on that day. But I want you to understand something. As much as I can strive and try to be a good preacher for the people who come into this building, at some point, I'm going to let you down. And if you bring people here just so that they can see a great preacher, which I am not, then you are going to find them disappointed. But if you bring them to Jesus, that's where their life's going to be changed. They'll go to another church at some point if you just bring them for a preacher. If you bring people for just the worship, for just the songs, for just the worship team, they might last for a little while, but at some point the worship team's going to let you down. Maybe not as much as my will because they're better than me, but they will let them down at some point. The people are kind and nice in this building, but if you bring people here, they might be introduced to that, but at some point the people are going to let them down. And if all you're after is bringing them to the preacher or bringing them to the worship or bringing them in the building or bringing them to the activities or the events and you're not introducing them to Jesus, they're not going to stick around because we will all let them down at some point because we need Jesus. And we didn't get it. That's part of our problem. Another part of our problem is verse 19. He says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back to God." In the context of you guys wanted people to be the solution of your problems. Instead, you need to turn to Jesus. And some of us, when we're thinking of this repentance, we're thinking, well, that's for people who weren't following Jesus. But are you actually following after Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? You might slap the label Christian on your spirit. You might slap the label believer on your spirit. But are you actually, with your life, following after Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Are there other things that you're devoting your energy to? Is your undivided attention upon Jesus? Is your hopes and your dreams and your faith placed in Jesus, or is it placed in other people and other things, and you show it by what you do? Again, that doesn't much hope. You can't spend time on other things, but how much time are you spending pursuing Jesus? How much hope are you hanging upon Jesus? How many of us today need to repent and turn to Jesus? Because while we believe that he rose from the dead, we believe that he is who he said he was, we believe that he is faithful to save us, and we look to see him one day, are you actually following Jesus, turning to Jesus on a regular basis? Peter says to you then, repent therefore and turn back. Why? What will result in that? That your sins may be blotted out. Forgiveness results in that. Verse 20, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Doesn't that sound good? A time of refreshing, a time of awakening. Wouldn't you love to see revival? I mean, how many of you would say, I would be so disappointed if I walked in here next Sunday morning and everybody was just enthused and excited and God was doing great things and miracles were happening left and right and people were falling over in the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit were happening all over the place and no, I wouldn't be all into that. Would you say that? How many of you would say, I wouldn't like it if day in and day out I was victorious over depression and sadness and fear and anxiety and I was walking in victory and I had the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life? That would be a disappointment to me. How many of you would say that? That time of refreshing and awakening that could happen in us as individuals and as a group, that is right there available if we repent and turn to Jesus. Not just salvation, not just trusting he rose from the dead, but are you actually turning to Jesus? With every ache, with every pain, with every discouragement, with every disappointment, with every dream, with every hope, with every breath, with everything that's going on within you, day in and day out, moment for moment, every fiber of your being pursuing Jesus Christ, what if at the other end of that is not only forgiveness, but a great awakening? Are you in for that? Oh, but there's a lot of hoops to walk through to get to that place. There is also something, a context that we have to understand, because I believe that the reason why some of us give up on different things and get discouraged and don't do and don't act is because we don't understand the context. Yes, Jesus is the author of life. Yes, Jesus heals and does miracles. Yes, he sends the Holy Spirit to empower us. Oh, but there's a catch to this that we must understand. As Peter continued in verse 20, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Until the time arrives. You know when the time of the restoration of all things arrives? When Jesus comes back. You know what that means? That means while there's power and there's victory and there's restoration found in Jesus Christ in this life, there is a now and not yet to that reality. And if you don't understand that, if you think that that means I won't get sick, if you think that that means you won't get hurt, if you think that means you ask for something and it doesn't happen immediately, if you think that that means you won't have financial struggles, relationship problems, if you think that means you will never fail in your character and the way you serve for him, then guess what? You are going to be knocked flat on your back because you're going to have your faith placed in something that's not a reality. That restoration of all things doesn't happen fully until Jesus comes back. And if you know that, when you get crushed and pressed and broken and persecuted and struggle, and when you fail and when you sin, you understand that I'm still under this broken context of the fallen world and Jesus hasn't returned yet. But you won't be discouraged because you know what's ahead of us. You know two things. You know that one day this is all over. One day, do you ever, like, I know I'm only 43. In fact, my mom was in town visiting me this week and I was complaining about a couple of aches, and one of them is a pain thing that happens on occasion that I can't stand up too often anymore because something starts to happen. And she said, you're only 43. I hate to see what happens when you're my age. To which I said, I received that word. Feel so great about that. But our bodies, don't you hate that? Can't even stand up all the time without being a little uncomfortable. What's wrong with that? But if you know that one day we're going to have a glorious resurrected body, that there will be zero pain, not an ounce of pain, and not only just, we won't be numb, we will have pleasure forever, for all eternity. We will never lack anything. No one will ever hurt our feelings. Everything will be great. We'll never fail again. That's ahead of us. And if we face problems in this life, if we actually know that, and we know Jesus, nothing's taken our joy from us. Nothing's breaking our will because we're going to keep pushing because we know what's ahead of us. But we also, some of us, we get lopsided. Either it's all or nothing with us sometimes, you know? Either it's all great now or it's just going to be miserable until we die. I had a theology professor that once said that all of humanity is like on a conveyor belt just marching towards falling into the pit of death. What a beautiful picture, huh? But it is in ways a reality. We are going to die. And some of us, we think, well, I'm just going to try. You know, it's never going to be good in this life. Not going to be power or victory in this life because it's a broken world. And in part, that is true. But you're lopsided if you think that there's not power and there's not victory and there's not awakening and revival and great things that can happen here and now. We need victory. Someone needs to wake us up from our slumber and decide that I don't need to rely on the passion of another person. I don't need someone else to stir me up because I have a fire within me, passionate to know Jesus Christ. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be let down. You're going to be broken. You're going to fail time and time again if you do not turn to Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And verse 22, Peter continues, Moses said, now note first at the end of verse 21, God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago this glorious thing. People had to talk about it. Did you know that? people had to say. We needed to hear people say something about it. Verse 22, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. Moses had to talk about what was coming, what was ahead, what was available to us. We needed to hear it from Moses. Verse 23, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken to you, from Samuel and those who come after him, also proclaim these days. People had to talk about this Jesus and what he does, and we had to hear it from people. Remember, Peter and John said, look at us. There are people in your life, there are people out there that before they see Jesus, they need to hear it from you. In fact, he continued, verse 25, you are the sons of the prophets. You carry this also, the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and your offspring shall all the families, in your offspring, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How? By us. Speaking of who? Speaking of Jesus. But I thought all they needed is Jesus. Yes, all they need is Jesus, but they need someone to introduce them to him. They need someone to talk about Jesus to them, demonstrate Jesus to them. Verse 26, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. This was not intended for a few. It's not just a select prophet that gets to receive these gifts. He wants to give this power to everyone. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Yes, you may call yourself a Christian, and that you might be. Yes, you might call yourself a believer, and that you might be. But do you really want Jesus? Where is the power in your life? Where is the victory? Where is the boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ and the gospel to others? Where is the power to be victorious over sin and temptation? Where is the power to have no anxiety, to be bold? Where is the power to not be depressed and down, but to have the joy of the Lord evermore? Where is the power in that? Do you need Jesus this morning? He's here. You need to come down to these altars, and you need to turn to Jesus. Come now. Come now. Don't wait for somebody else. Come. You need to turn to Jesus. Oh, again, you might be saved. You might pray, you might go to church, you might give, you might do different things. You might pray an hour a day, you might pray 2 hours a day. But where is the power of Jesus Christ? Come to these altars and seek him. You need Jesus in your life. If I'm lacking, if I'm failing, if I'm giving into temptation, if I'm struggling, if I'm still wrestling, if I'm still dealing with these things, where is the power in my life? Then I need Jesus. We need to turn to Jesus. And don't just turn to him lightly. Don't just turn to him half-heartedly that, yes, for a moment I'll come down and kneel at an altar and pray. Oh, no, let this be a beginning of a journey in which you begin to increase more so and more so and more so in seeking passionately the face of Jesus Christ. And worship team, you can begin to play. Do you need Jesus? Some of you, you're not angry with Jesus. You're not upset with him. You're not bitter towards him. You're not frustrated with him. But you're bitter and frustrated and irritated with people in your life. And if you're mad at them, you don't know Jesus enough. If you're upset with them, you don't know Jesus enough. Oh, God. Because Jesus inspired John to write that if I say I love God, if I say I know God, then I love him. I love this person. I love these people in my lives. Because I know that they aren't meant to meet my expectations. They aren't meant to satisfy me. Maybe you're disappointed in a workplace that you work for, or disappointed in the country and in the government. Maybe you're disappointed in an organization. Maybe you're disappointed in the church. If you're in that place, if you're losing hope, then are you actually seeking Jesus? Your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, your friends, they can't satisfy this hunger within you. You need Jesus. Go ahead and come. Don't linger or wait. Come and seek Jesus. You need him. this morning. Turn to him. Run to him. Build your life upon him. And make this be a lifelong pursuit. Things are going to be different this year. I'm going to know Jesus, and the glory of Jesus is going to shine through me. You lack boldness of sharing this faith with others. Maybe you lack the character to demonstrate this faith to others. Then you need Jesus. If you don't have the boldness to proclaim the gospel consistently to others, then you need Jesus. Let's seek him. I need him. You need him. We need to live this year for Jesus. Let's seek him. Hallelujah. Just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would. Here this morning and never really fully committed your life to Jesus Christ. I don't want to miss the opportunity to invite you to do that, to make your commitment to follow Jesus today. And from that comes the forgiveness of sins and the refreshing and the salvation that is promised to those who put their trust in Jesus. Heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, that's me. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Would you lift your hand and say, that's me? Anybody here this morning? Good. Good. Anybody else? Good. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these two. And we ask, Lord, that you would empower them, that you would help us to be there for them, to support them in their journey of pursuing you. We ask that you would infuse them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Give them the conviction that comes with the Holy Spirit. That you would awaken within them things that they had not seen before. That you would place your fire within them. And that you would enable them to live a life passionately following you. And we ask that for all of us, Lord. May 2022, and again, we know there's nothing special in a year, except that we want it now, Lord. We want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit among us now. And help us to not get in the way of that by failing to seek you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. Help us to do that. Remind us to do that. We thank you, we believe in you, and we trust in you that times of refreshing are coming. Do you believe that this morning? Times of refreshing are coming. They're coming. If only we will jump through the hoops, if only we'll walk down that road, times of refreshing are coming. We must believe. We must trust. Jesus is faithful. His word is true. And so, Lord, we invite that to come. Bring your revival. Bring your awakening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this year, again, look at us. We, the leadership of Bethel, we're going to do everything we can to do better for you, better things for you. We have plans and we have things, conversations we're going to invite you in to be a part of, because we have a responsibility to do well, don't we? Because we represent Jesus Christ. But at the end of the day, it's our goal to make sure we introduce people to Jesus. Are you on board with that? So no matter what songs we sing, no matter what programs or plans we piece together, we're going to try to do them well. But at the end of the day, we're not putting our trust in programs or a plan or a person. We're putting our trust in Jesus. Amen. I hope that God will richly empower you today to do that and to seek him. Thank you for being here. God bless you. See you next Sunday.